You're listening to Upfront. I'm Antonia Yuhas. At a time of aggressive ICE activity, enforcing the president's zero-tolerance immigration policy, we know far less about ICE than we should. For the past 19 months, ICE has refused to release key data about its enforcement activity that had been routinely available. There is, in fact, a black hole where there used to be vital information. Luckily, there are also people fighting to free the information. Two lawsuits have been brought against ICE by the Transactional Records Access Clearinghouse, also known as TRAC, demanding release of the data. Our guest today is Associate Professor Susan Long, a statistician and professor in Syracuse University's Whitman School of Management, who is a FOIA pioneer and has specialized in federal enforcement issues for more than 25 years. She is director of TRAC Research Center. Thanks for joining us, Susan Long.
Thank you. I'm co-director of TRAC.
Oh, thanks so much for the clarification. So let's just start at the top. Tell us what data is not being released by ICE that used to be.
Oh, tons. To begin with, we have been requesting data from ICE for over a decade, and they've never been very cooperative. And there's lots of data that they have never released that would be very, very helpful to answer questions on, you know, what is ICE doing day to day, and what are its practices, and is it achieving its stated goals? And we've had a number of lawsuits against them, and we have three actually that are pending. Papers are due in one of our suits, in fact, on Friday, and that suit is just to tell the public about what kind of information they actually track. Because the first problem is they tend to just say, oh, well, we don't have that, when in fact they do. And so over time, we were able to pry out of them quite a bit of information, not everything by any means, but quite a bit. And then in January 2017, currently we're making about 24 requests to them for updated data every month. So it's quite a volume of information that we're seeking, trying to track all sort of aspects of their activity from the issuance of detainers to apprehensions, who they pick up, to detention policies, separation, for example, of children from family units. The data would come in large spreadsheets, and they were just all sorts of columns of data that were no longer there. Mm. For example, non-detainers, they continued to release information on the detainers that they prepared, but refused to provide whether they ever took the individual into custody.
What is a detainer?
It's a request by ICE that's sent to local law enforcement agencies asking them to keep an individual that they have in their custody for additional time to allow ICE to come and take that person into custody.
And so if that information stopped being made public, tell us about the, you know, what sort of black hole that creates in terms of our understanding of what ICE is up to.
Well, these detainer requests are controversial, and now they are issuing, and they've increased the issuance of detainers, and they are insisting that law enforcement agencies are being uncooperative and that this is very harmful. But what they're withholding is, it turned out rather surprisingly that most of the time, under previous administrations, ICE never bothered to go pick the individual up, or for whatever reason, they were never taken into custody. And that's kind of important because just having a detainer on you can have legal consequences. Also, another thing that they're now withholding is whether the individual has any sort of what their criminal history, if any, is. They may never have been convicted of any crimes or only a simple traffic offense, for
example. So if the Trump administration is claiming we've implemented our zero tolerance policy because we're keeping, you know, in Trump's words, criminals and rapists from coming into the country, end quote, Trump's words, they're not, if they're collecting that data, they're certainly not revealing that information to the public to back up such a claim.
Exactly. And they are collecting the information because they used to release it.
Okay, they're
just not
releasing it. We used
to get the entire criminal histories.
So basically, the Trump administration can say whatever it wants to say about what that data actually reveals, and we can't tell if they're telling the truth or not.
Right. And so that's across the board the kind of information that would allow the public to judge, really, is the agency doing what it says it's doing, and is that policy achieving its stated goals, which is to deport individuals?
So can you tell us, can we back up a little bit, because ICE is clearly a key focus of attention right now, with including an abolish ICE movement that's really grabbing hold. Can you give us a little bit of the history of ICE and, you know, how it came to be and what you've seen tracking it over the years?
Okay, well, we have to go back to 9/11. And at that point in time, there was the Immigration and Naturalization Service, and there were other and there was the Customs Agency, as well as others. And after 9/11, Congress decided to create the Department of Homeland Security, and they brought dozens of agencies that were formerly pieces of other departments together, and they restructured them. And out of that emerged Immigration and Customs Enforcement, United States Citizen and Immigration Services, and Customs and Border Protection, sort of split it three ways, combining in some the separate Customs Department that had existed before. And ICE was given the responsibility of immigration enforcement away from the borders.
And what was ICE's, you know, stated policy goals, or, you know, what the outcome is supposed to be of its activities?
Well, its emphasis obviously has varied over the years, but the primary, initial emphasis was to protect us from terrorists, right? I mean, because it emerged out of 9/11. But as a practical matter, that is rarely the kind of individual that ICE ever gets involved in going after. It is typically, you know, more general immigration enforcement.
And so what has the data over the years shown you in terms of when you do get the data, you know, what you're looking for?
Essentially, the role of TRAC is simply to try to provide detailed data to the public about what the government is doing day to day. And we do this not just in immigration, but we do it in, you know, what is the Internal Revenue Service doing? And what is the FBI doing? And, you know, what is the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms doing? So we do it. White collar crime enforcement. So we do it across the board. What we do is we seek and obtain data dumps from the internal management databases of federal agencies, and then we process and compile it into meaningful forms and put it out on the web.
And so, in terms of, you know, then ICE in particular, you know, what are some of the things that the data had been showing, the information that was, you know, was coming out when data was being made available?
Well, it showed, for example, that a secure communities program was not very effective in terms of the agency's actual stated goals, and that an awful lot of detainers were being issued and having harmful effects, but people weren't being picked up or deported. People were being targeted that were maybe easier to find, which were those hardworking immigrants that may have been in the country for a long time and were, abiding by the laws. So that there was a sort of a disconnect between what the government was achieving and what it said its priorities were.
Why do you think that was? Was it that in reality the government didn't think these were particularly dangerous people?
No, it was any bureaucracy wants to look good, right?
Right.
And, you know, it's a human nature.
Right.
And so if they were setting goals that they were going to be deporting X number of people and they wanted to deport criminals and it was hard to find criminals, it was easier to find people that were hiding, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you would pick up those people and you would then sort of define them as criminals. In fact, I mean, they were most people don't realize that in lots of jurisdictions, including the federal jurisdiction, a speeding ticket that you get a ticket and you send in your check for the amount that's being charged. You just pled guilty to a criminal offense.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you define criminals so broadly that it covers everybody, then it's easy to say, oh, well, look at all the criminals that we're deporting.
You are getting some data from the Trump administration. And so the numbers that we see that reflect increased activity by ICE are reflected in the data? Are you getting that much data, at least?
Yes, yeah. And we've done a number of reports, and what it shows is that, yes, activity is up, but in fact, it's lower than higher periods during the first part of President Obama's administration. So historically, while there's a lot of talk about the big crisis, et cetera, apprehension, there are fewer people coming across the border now than, there were in times past, people being picked up. Are an increase over the immediate past, where under President Obama, they attempted to keep focusing in on the more serious kinds of individuals so that they could be successful in deporting them, given constraints on resources that Congress provides. So you have an enormous backlog in the immigration courts because Congress hasn't appropriated more funds for law enforcement, but they don't then appropriate more funds sufficiently for the other aspects that are required in order to deport individuals.
And so are you able to look at a proportion? So as you say, the number of people trying to cross is lower now, and there have been periods of surges. And so looking at from a proportional perspective, is the Trump administration trying actively going after more people as a percentage of the people that are coming across? Hard to say.
Part of the problem, of course, is there is a big delay before you get any data.
Okay.
So you're never looking at it currently.
Okay.
But for example, just this you know, there's been a lot of discussion about families coming across the border and seeking asylum, and the zero tolerance policy that Attorney General, you know, Sessions announced as a justification. And he announced that policy in early April as a justification of why the children were being removed from their parents because the parents were being criminally prosecuted. Well, when the latest data that we got from the Border Patrol, which we've posted online, shows that during all of April, there was only one parent that was referred for criminal prosecution.
Wow.
But yet, all of these parents that were deported and without their children.
Even though they weren't found to have committed any crimes, other than trying to come across the border.
Well, you know, if you have entered, if you have, you know, entered the country not through a regular port
right.
of entry, even if you turn yourself in immediately, I mean, you're looking for a Border Patrol person to turn yourself into and claim asylum, that under President Trump, he felt that those people should be criminally prosecuted for illegal entry, which is a petty offense. And so an individual, you know, could be convicted of that.
Okay. But otherwise, you're saying the idea that these are people who have amassed large criminal records and that's why they're being deported is simply not supported by the evidence that you're seeing.
Well, the Border Patrol didn't include any information on criminal history, but it did include information as to whether or not it referred anybody for criminal prosecution and tagged people as to whether they were a member of a family unit, and it gave their ages and gender so you could tell that these were parents rather than children. Accordingly, the claim was that every single person that the Border Patrol was picking up was being criminally referred, because if you are picked up by the Border Patrol, you've illegally entered the country. You didn't go through a port of entry, you know. So, in fact, that showed only of the thousands of family units, it showed only one parent that had been referred for criminal history, but it showed lots of children that had been separated from their families. Mm.
And so what does it mean that the administration is not handing over this data that used to be publicly available?
Well, it just means it probably doesn't have the information to judge what their, you know, government is doing in this really important area. And in a big country with lots of people and lots of enforcement officers, you know, not everything is ever going to be perfect, right? Mm-hmm. And there will be there will be abusive situations. And the question is how systematic is this? You know, there's also the issue of the sanctuary city movement. Is that actually being counter to any of the immigration, the real immigration goals, or is it just pontificating on the part of the administrations?
The administration claiming that sanctuary cities are hindering its ability to do its job.
Right. A very important policy issue. And we found when we did get data that, you know, ICE was claiming like four times the number of deportations that had of serious criminals that actually had occurred.
Mm.
And they eventually had to admit that.
And is that when they stopped providing the data, when they were found that they were putting so many errors into the data they were putting out?
they didn't make a big deal of it, but they did eventually acknowledge that that was an error. Yeah.
Well, I think that's a good place to leave it. Susan Long, a statistician and professor in Syracuse University's Whitman School of Management, a FOIA pioneer who specialized in federal enforcement issues for more than 25 years, is co-director with David Burnham of TRAC at Syracuse University. They are suing the federal government to release data through the Freedom of Information Act on ICE and its activities. Thanks so much for being our guest today.
You're welcome.